End the day of the Torah way, Tuesday night, Rabbi Yossi Moore.
Right, good evening. Right, we left off with a massive, massive kula in Hilchos Boira last week. And that is, I find it very, it feels wrong, almost wrong when I do it. But Friday nights when you're gathering all the soup plates and you've got all the bowls and you've got, at the top bowl, you've got a bit of soup together with lokshen, carrots and knedlach, and you go over to the sink and you spill over all the liquid into the sink. So it should go into the sink drain, and the liquid, you're separating the liquid from the solid, and really it feels wrong because you're doing boira. You want the liquid, just the liquid, to go down the sink drain, and then you want the solids to go down, you're going to drag it in the bin. So seemingly this should be direct boira dairaisa, and yet the Prima Gordon tells us it's mutter because it's psoilis from psoilis. Boira is only when you're separating and sorting out oichel from psoilis, or psoilis from oichel. But if they're both psoilis, although it feels wrong, the Maisa Prima Gordon says it's mutter, as Oishlin in Prima Gordon. Having said that, there are very important points in Boira to take into consideration when it comes to Friday night meal. Namely, number one is, don't forget we're in the middle of the soup meal. You collect all the soup bowls, and you've got a whole pile of soup bowls, and the top bowl you've got, let's say there's a lot of leftovers, and you've also got some small spoons, maybe some of the children's spoons, and then you take it to the kitchen, and now you want to remove the spoons from the top bowl, which is a big mixture. I'm not talking about there's a very little amount left. I'm talking about there's a lot left at the top bowl. You've got a tarubis of leftovers food together with a few spoons. Now really what you want to do is remove the spoons and put it in the dishwasher, put it in the sink, and then put the rest in the bin. Now, here comes the Sirish Aila Boira. Really the spoons together with all the leftovers could be considered mixture, meaning most cases it probably isn't. Because it's very clearly discernible. You can see clearly that spoon, especially a big spoon, and if there's only a small amount of leftovers, it doesn't seem like to be an issue. However, where you have, especially by the main course, when you have a chicken and you've got loads of bones and you've got loads of lots of leftover stuff because people are already full by that time, and the top plate is Kanaina Hora overloaded, and you've also got forks and knives. There, it's very, very possible to be nichshon in Lechus Boira. When I was a bocher, I was zeicha many times to go to Rebbe Falk to eat the Friday night meal, as well as many other things, kiviyas Baruch Hashem, and many other things which we were zeicha to. And I remember very clearly that the Rebbetzin arranged that there should be a separate bowl for the soup and a separate plate for the main course. One of the bowls which were used, where there she just collected the cutlery to be on that plate and bowl. And the other ones, the whole pile of plates and bowls, was for all the rubbish. So she separated the two. I remember it very clearly. And therefore, when it comes to the main course, she had a whole pile of plates, which all the tarubas, so that's very clear. And then another one, which had all the cutlery, which obviously there's no tarubas now. When it's all together, yes, you're taking the oichel, you're removing the cutlery, but you don't end up using the cutlery straight away. Yes, it's oichel mitoicha psoiles, but you haven't. Well, so that's not really called hishtamshus. The place can struggle to call that a hishtamshus of the spoon. You're not using it, you're putting it in the spoon, you're putting it in the sink. Therefore, in the event there is all the taruvas, and you remove the cutlery from the taruvas, and you put it in the sink, that is boira because you're not using the cutlery straight away. And therefore, if everything is called taruvas, then the cutlery, the reusable cutlery, is not considered psoilis. Till now we're talking about soup where both are psoilis. I don't want anything, I want the whole thing to go. Whereas when you have a situation where you've got cutlery which you want to long la, you want it for the next week, you want to wash it on the Shabbos, now this is not psoiles, this is psoiles on oichel. Yes, you're taking the oichel from the psoiles, you're taking the cutlery from the psoiles, but you're not using the cutlery straight away. Boira midoiraisa. And therefore, it's very important to know, when it comes to the main course, and you've got a ganza, a big shirayim left of the leftovers on the main course, and together with that, you've also got some forks and knives. If it is a taruvus at the top, then to take them away and put it in the sink is a malocha minatoya. It's just good to know.
The take from your plate into that bowl.
To take from...
From your plate into that center bowl for the cutlery, is that wrong?
Again, say it again.
My plate in front of me has got things that...
It's unlikely that one... The sorry. It's unlikely that a psoilis from one person should be considered a taruvus. Our case is when you have typically a few, when you scrape it onto one plate, and that plate's got a lot of taruvus, that's when you can have a shayla. You've got kanada hora at 6-7 people at the table, that's when you can already start having a shayla. And I remember it stuck in my mind to know that Robertson Faltz always made sure to cut himself. She had one bowl with all the, she put the cutlery inside, and then the other bowl, the pile of bowls, which she had all the taruvus inside, and all the leftovers inside, and she went inside with two bowls, one single bowl or one pile of bowls, whatever. However you want to work out, as long as you make sure there's no taruvus. That's the interesting point. A very interesting point is, when you have, again, these things are shaylas of deraisa, and there's always worth taking into account, when a lot of times you go over to the bin, and by mistake, you didn't see there was a spoon, a small spoon inside, and you just shove it into the bin, and then you realize, oh, you hear that noise, it didn't sound like a carrot. Yeah, it sounded more like a spoon going inside the bin. And therefore now, what you typically want to do is pull out the spoon and put it in the sink. Now that could involve a melacha minatoria. Because when you look into the bin, take a second to look into the bin, and you see there's rubbish, and then you've got the spoon inside the rubbish, it's likely, it's possible, that it's called a taruvus, in which case, yes, you're taking the oichel from the psoiles, you want the spoon, but you're not using it straight away. Therefore, the postman advise, either you keep it after Shabbos, not so practical, or the other eta is to try and arrange that you use it straight away. It's also not so practical sometimes. Sometimes you're very full. What are you going to use it for? Now, to take the rubbish with it can get some tricky. Some of it is muksa. Won't always work. But
all the whole kind of disposal cutlery.
Yeah.
If you feel it's too heavy, there's one reel on it in between. How do you take that out?
Right, so you're going to have to take... Oh, that's a very interesting. Spreading it out is a very, very good eitza. Reb Moshe Feinstein writes it, and he actually brings a raya from Rashi in Shabbos Ayin Hey, that says that you've always got an eitza to spread the taruvas. That's not called sorting out. The moshel, I remember in yeshiva, they were asking Reb Falk about the letters that came into yeshiva. You want to sort it out and sort out to which letter goes to work, to who. What you can do is you can spread it over a table, and that's not considered as sorting out an halacha. It's mefurash Rashi, basically. It's not called a way of normal way of doing it, and therefore it's absolutely mutter to do it too. Yeah, so that, I guess that would be okay to throw it on the table. Not so practical again, but then it could, if it works, it works, it's good. Another big michshel that I find, a massive michshel, and that is, you know how it goes Friday night sometimes, when you have guests over, and you know, the conversations are going on and going on, and mostly you get a bit fidgety sometimes. And you've got the salt cellar. I always find the salt cellar is potentially Issa Daraisa involved. What can happen? Out of habit, and out of just sorting things out in your mind, it's like, it is, I've seen it before in my own eyes, that's why I feel it's very important to say. Sometimes you've got crumbs inside the salt cellar. So you've got salt in the salt cellar, open salt cellar, and you've got a few crumbs which naturally might disturb you, and you feel, you know, this should really take it away, especially if they're big, you feel, you know, it doesn't come in, and you want to take them away, just while in the matter of a conversation, you're just pecking at 3-4 pieces of crumbs. Now, it might look like a very small thing, but that is considered the melacha min haTorah of psoilis from the oichel. You're taking, you're removing the psoilis from the oichel, that should involve a melacha min haTorah. Go. Oh, so that's if you're taking the whole taruvas, the whole area of taruvas. I mean, it's the fact that one or two grains of salt is attached to it, scientifically, Chaznish explains that won't be considered taruvas of it. It's removing the whole taruvas, the whole area of where you would call it a mixture, then removing that whole area would be, you should know, I must tell you, someone shared me a shayla. It just shows how you think one thing and then something else comes out. It's amazing. this is going back 3 weeks ago, Matzah Shabbos, someone came to me and said, he had a Zashayda, that Shabbos, he had a flowers, and somehow there was a fly in the vase, in the water. I've never actually had this, but he had a big fly that was in the vase, very not geschmack, nishmatam, to have a fly. You can imagine Shabbos day, whether you got guests or not got guests, not geschmack to have a fly. And he said they were debating in the meal, can they remove the fly? They're worried about muksa, and they're worried about if you're going to take water out, if you take water out, then in a way you might be doing koitza, meaning koitza is really uprooting something. Over here you're not really uprooting, but you're removing the water, the natural growth, which is going to give it sustenance. Perhaps there'll be a shayla of maybe koitza, they're really removing sustenance. This is what was debated in the Shabbos table. So in a way they wanted to get rid of it by removing not so much water. I can see a few squash noses over here. You can see over here, the muksa is the least of the issue. This is considered a muksa, a machas mios. It's a graf sharei. Graf sharei is always a heta to remove something that's despicable. That would always be muksa. So you'd actually be able to pick it up with your hands if you wouldn't mind taking that. But the koitza is also not a shayla, because there's no issa. Once the flowers have been uprooted, there's no real issa of removing the water. The main issue is Baira. You told me you never thought about Baira. Baira, where's Baira coming to? Yes, because you're removing the fly. So now, if you remove the whole area of the taruvus, that's what we're saying to him, because he was thinking that, no, if he takes that water, he's taking away the sustenance and shayla koitza, faket. The eight in his case was to take with a lot of water and to take away the whole area of Taruvus. That would be the best way forward in his case. That would get you around the Shaila. But you're up. Sorry, not. There wouldn't be enough given out. Yeah, if you wouldn't be able to get out south, yeah.
Well, so it should be okay. Even if the fly falls in the soup, but that little bit of water around the fly is soaked. You would not.
Sure, but the Chazanish explains that as long as you got the surrounding area, that's the Taruvus. It doesn't make the whole vase if you got one small thing over here. It doesn't make the whole room into a Taruvus. Just that area. Yeah, just the area. So now, Rabbi said, this is just a thought when you get to Baira. Okay, we're going to now pound the head. Listen to this. Next Shaila. Let's move on to from Baira. And I want to share a Shaila, which I find it's very Negea. Especially to people, you should know when a person goes to Beis HaKisei, then when it comes out, a person comes out of the toilet, then there's different menhagim. Some people wash their hands with the keli, and some people wash their hands by just running their hands under the water. Strictly speaking, it's enough to run your hands under the water, like many people are brought up with. Usually people stick with what they do when they're younger, and a lot of people are brought up just by running their hands underwater. And some people use a keli, yesh v'yesh mishabruz meikah din meikah on it. Okay, but a lot of people have the minhag, if they're used to it, they'll keep to it, because as it is. Yeah? Now, the shayla is a lot of people who don't wash their hands with a keli, they have to know that when it comes to a meal time, and a person feels they need to go to, he goes to be excused, just before the chicken, so he comes from the Beis HaKisei, he goes to the kitchen, he washes his hands, and he washes his hands by just rinsing, without a keli, just by passing his hands under the water, is not enough. He'll not be able to carry on having a meal, pass and everything. He won't be able to carry on eating a meal, because there's a specific halacha that if a person went to Beis HaKisei during the meal, he's lost his natilis yadayim that was made at the beginning of the meal. It doesn't last forever. If he benches and washes it, starts again, obviously you need to wash again. Yeah. So by going to the Beis HaKisei, that's also considered the Hesach Hadas. Mishabura and Simakuf Samach Dalet Sif Beis. So Kuf Samach Dalet Sif Dalet Sif Beis. Misha Oimid Besuda, and he goes to the Beis HaKisei. Then Sorech Lachso Velita Liot. Shochnoch says he should make another bracha on the Tzitzit Daim. The Ma'aseh will be Alocha Chaznish holes. Oh. Doesn't make a chelav between doing with him. The ma'isa mefitz chaznish to make a bracha. Bracha is chaznish says the ma'isa you don't make a bracha. Bracha, but you can see how far it goes. Shulchan Aruch holds. Ibn Shulchan Aruch. No one says you go to Beis HaKisei during the meal. You make another anzizadam. You've lost it. You lost in anzizadam. You're finished. You washed your hands, yes, and you made the bracha, and it works until you muck it up. So therefore, once a person goes to Bizakitsu, whether he touches or not, it's irrelevant. Shulchan Aruch holds the Maisa is going to require a new bracha even. So we don't go with the bracha. At least we Apidin in the Shulchan Aruch is a chiyuv to take a keli and wash your hands like you would normally do for the Suda. It's a very important halacha. Rebbe Falk used to highlight this halacha. Oh, shkar. Thank you. This is the second point. The second point is, this is a person who wants to change a nappy, wants to change a child's got a diaper, which is wet, which is dirty, and he changes the nappy, the post can say the same thing. They'll also, like you're saying, it's not necessarily the toilet, it's all huadin shchikich beroishai, or touching the area of a baby. Yeah. Ah, no. Hesach Hadas of just time is not, it has to be a big Hesach Hadas of a long, long time. You have to be heavily involved in something else. It's limited. It's something which is dirty. Getting involved in things which are dirty, yeah, is called a Hesach Hadas. Let me straight away go on to the other point is, sleeping is also Hesach Hadas. We've discussed this. And let me share with you, this is more than common. I know this because I've had people asking this, that, you know, they found themselves in bed just before straight after the chicken soup. Right? So they find themselves, they're taking their taking their children to bed. It comes, it's 7 o'clock, and it's time for the kids to be, okay, so they pushed it, so they allow the child to stay up for Kiddush, and you know, it goes, and yeah, just for washing, and just for fish. And the maestro, he stays up till after the soup, and then he say, right, bedtime. So you take him upstairs to bed, and maestro, what usually happens is, you usually fall asleep before the child. Okay, so that's what usually happens. Now, what happens is, if you're lying, go to bed, and you're sleeping for half an hour, you take off your jacket, make a ganze kvis out of it, when you come downstairs, and you've got chicken waiting for you, and apia locha, you have to make new brochas. Because what happened before, yeah, is finished. As we say in Shulchan Aruch, the last sif from Kufayin Ches. Okay, it's limited to if you go to bed specially, bederech keva. We're not talking about a person who just ends up in the couch, even if it's a leaning couch. That's not considered part of what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. That's not included. And that would be that wouldn't require new brachas. But if a person puts himself to bed, you know, and he intentionally, because this is what he needs, he wants more koichas to learn that night, Friday night. So that would require, you come downstairs, make a shahadoma on the potato kugel, make a shahakal on the chicken. Don't forget, once you make shahakal on the chicken, then when it comes to dessert, then you don't make a shahakal anymore. Because the whole reason why you make a shahakal on dessert is because it's part of the sudha. You still have the bench. The benching you never lose. You never lose the benching. Kozman, the body's still got sustenance from the ichel. There's still a chiyuv to bench. That doesn't reflect onto the brachos. Now, in the case where a person goes to sleep specifically for half an hour, and he comes down and he makes shahakal on the chicken, then he's made his shahakal. The shahakal works now. Yeah, but it's going to work now. It's a new meal. It's kind of like a new meal. So what would happen if tonight now, as we speak now, I would have chicken, and then I would have ice cream. You wouldn't make two shahakals. One shahakal for the chicken and the dessert. It's only a kitzur, we're just being a step ahead, that in that case, okay, I don't think it's such a common case where a person puts himself to sleep for half an hour in the middle of the meal. That's not so common. We need to move on. It's not in halacha, it's not called dirt. It's not the same. The dirt in halacha is called, it's soya, even scratching hair is also considered, but not with oichel. With oichel, that's not considered. Minigav yisani b'yidaini. Yeah, to eat with our hands already, that's not considered already, it's not considered a thingy. If I've got time for another halacha, we're scraping this. Someone told me he went to a holiday house a few weeks ago near the sea. And in the middle of the meal, just before the main course, it was suggested that let's just go to the sea, let's just go for a 5-minute walk, a 10-minute walk outside just before we're ready for the next course. As anyway, it's a long evening, let's go for a 10-minute walk in the middle of the meal. Shulchan Aruch Rav, Mishnah Berurah, they all say it's not going to help Das, Gonish is going to help him, it's not going to help. In the middle of the meal, you cannot leave for a long period of time, anything more than 5, 6, 7 minutes, you can't leave. Shulchan Aruch Rav said, Mufurish, I remember when I was in the Eretz Yisrael, even Das, help for Shulchan Aruch, that is clearly, Das is a very complicated. This whole topic about Shinimokim is very complex, and in this specific case, in the middle of the meal, when a person wants to go for a walk, if it's a longer walk, that's not going to help. This is a consensus that come out all the poskim, Mishabura, Shulchan Aruch. I remember in Eretz Yisrael, they were hacking about it, because a lot of young couples in Eretz Yisrael, in the middle of the meal, you know, they like to go around the block, in Zechron Yaakov, down Pesach Tikva, and go back to the... No, Mincha is Mutah, and you don't even need the Shema, and you don't even need Das. That's it. These things get wild, because there's the Sorech Mitzvah. The Ramah says, Mefurish, where's the Sorech? Okay, this is the stop clock me. The clock has stopped me, and Mitzvah Shem. And next week, maybe we'll have to think about what we're going to speak about. Shkoyach, Shkoyach, Mitzvah. Thank you.
He goes to his arms for smoke.